Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Prophet Isaiah, when he was in the temple and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and above the Lord God Almighty were seraphs who were circling, and they were praising and they were calling out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." And even the doorposts of the temple shook. I invite you to take the Mennonite hymnal and turn to number 5 and join in singing the song, "Holy, Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty." I've asked Darlene to accompany us, and I'd like to invite you all to stand and sing with full voice. And if our doorposts shake a little, that's all right.
Good morning and welcome to our worship service today. Our order is a little bit different, and we're going to do our sharing time at this time. So if you have something you'd like to share or a praise request, just a way of maybe adding to this time, I also throw out that if during this time there's ways that you or things that you remember from last week or recent services that have stayed with you, blessed you, feel free to share those also.
This is Karen Souter. I have two things. One is Hayden has court on October the 11th, so if you could pray for everybody involved in whatever they decide. It's just a review hearing. But yeah, I'm not sure what they're going to be doing there. And also, I have a friend, Gwen Sosfus, who has leukemia. She is doing a week of chemo right now. So she said it has a good prognosis, but if we could pray for her too, that would be great.
This is Carolyn. Thank you guys for praying for Leah. She did have labs done on Tuesday. They were pretty much unchanged, but they are going to let us hold off for another 2 weeks here and continue just to watch her closely and see if they do keep dropping a little bit and try to hold off on a biopsy for her.
This is Loretta Gockley, and I asked for prayer for our nephew, Derek Diener. He was diagnosed with colon cancer, so he's had surgery, and he's looking. His next step is chemo. So just remember that family. It touches especially close to home, because of Nelson's death. So this, he would be married to Ashley, Nelson's oldest daughter. So.
Is Dean Hoover, pray for Roland Nolte. He used to come here to church some. Wednesday he was involved in a head-on collision in his rig Wednesday night, where the other guy was killed. So pray for him and everybody involved.
Okay, please join me in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us, for always being with us. Thank you that you have expectations of us and that you call us to be a light in the world around us. You call us to invest, that this is a time of investing in your kingdom. We pray for Hayden and the upcoming court date. We pray that your will would be done in his life. Bless Karen and Randy and their family as they love him, walk with him. Pray for your blessing and favor. We pray for Gwen and going through leukemia. We pray, Father, according to your will, we pray that your will would be done. We ask, God, that you would bring healing in her life, and we pray for comfort, a sense of peace during this time and for those close to her. Thank you that Leah's numbers have been good enough that she hasn't had to have a biopsy, and I pray that, God, that you would continue to watch over her, and if it be your will that they would continue to be good, that she would not need that. We pray for Travis and Carolyn, that you would guide them and be that they would experience your presence. Similarly, we pray for Derek and his colon cancer. Lord, we pray for just all that might go through his mind and her family as they deal with a significant health issue. We pray for comfort and peace, and that during this time, God, that they would sense your love, your provision, that you are with them. For Roland and this accident, God, and all those involved, Lord, in a tragedy like this, we pray and ask again for your comfort, your presence. Pray that, pray against any, wrong impressions or just the reoccurring thoughts of the accident happening. God, I pray for your blessing on Roland's life and just moving forward from it. We thank you for today and the opportunity to share together. We commit it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Looking at the verse directly after the one I shared last week, in John 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And right now, for me in my life, that's a pretty powerful verse for me. Finishing college, making a bunch of decisions about my future career and my future life, just being able to look on that and find confidence from. And I think that's something good for all of us. We can kind of learn just to trust in God and just understand that whatever happens, there's a purpose for it. So the ushers, please come forward for the offering. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that we could all come in this morning and just worship you. And I thank you for sending us your peace, and I pray that you would just help us to find it in all our situations and just to learn to trust in you. And I pray that you just bless us often this morning in the hands that gave it. Amen.
Mission Minute this morning is a resource from EMM. It's available for almost all ages. I think you need to be able to read, but other than that, it should be available for everyone.
Make disciples of all nations. These timeless words of Jesus have fresh meaning in our globalized world. Nearly every follower of Jesus today has opportunity to reach across cultural boundaries to share Jesus with others, whether locally or around the world. The question we hear people asking is how? That is the purpose of Launch. Launch is a three-phase training process that prepares you for cross-cultural ministry wherever God calls you. Start online with the Launch module. 7 self-paced units about obedience, well-being, and multiplication. Supported by a coach, work up to a final project about embodying and proclaiming the gospel wherever you are.
The modules gave me a really good experience in being able to discuss the readings and the experiences that I had. In particular, one of them that I really enjoyed and kind of got to me was reading a book called Godspace. And it taught me about spreading the gospel and about how the gospel starts with a conversation and building a relationship.
Next, you'll attend the Launch Intensive. Spend 1 to 2 weeks in a learning community of like-minded disciples. Grow in knowing and sharing Jesus through times of corporate worship and prayer, ministry to one another, hands-on learning activities, guest speakers, and discussions with others who share your passion.
With EMM, they've really ensured that they are getting the students and us to learn and understand these lessons around culture and around equipping us and around faith and how to best serve us as well as those that we're going to be interfacing with in Tanzania.
If I can put all this 2 weeks experience in one word, it would be rest.
Wherever your journey of disciple-making takes you, stay connected online through the Launch cohort. Discuss what cross-cultural discipleship looks like in your unique context and find encouragement alongside other disciple makers through monthly video calls.
It was kind of just one of those security things where the people I had trained with and also people that were involved with things back home checking in with me and making sure I'm doing okay, and I just really enjoyed it. I felt like I was very well taken care of.
The Launch program is very practical, some just practical skills in Bible study, in prayer, in evangelism, in cross-cultural experiences. They've studied a book called Foreign Familiar when they look at cold cultures and hot cultures and how are people different, and they're embracing it all, and it's exciting to see them doing that.
Start learning how to bridge cultural divides with the good news of Jesus. We would love to journey with you.
We're all missionaries no matter where we live, so that would be a tool to help us be more effective. Thank you.
Thank you, Daryl. We're trying something a little new with worship in having a monthly theme. So you'll notice in your bulletin at the under our motto, vision motto, let's walk with Jesus personally, locally, and globally, there's a verse, and I'm proposing that verse for our theme for October, and with our theme being on forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's also a theme song that we're going to try. I think we've sang it a time or two here, but it's At the Cross, Love Ran Red, and talks about forgiveness and what Jesus has done for us. So if you have any thoughts as we go through October, whether you like the idea of a theme, feel free to share them. This week I also met with Nelson Okanye, president of EMM. He will be sharing at our spiritual renewal services coming up in November. And one of the kind of his, as he spoke with me as we met for breakfast, as he was sharing it, I could kind of remember him talking about it. So one of his maybe life messages that he feels strongly about is this idea of reclaiming the gospel narrative, as he would say it, the story of God, reclaiming that within our churches. Each day, of our week, we hear lots of messages and lots of stories about what's important and what makes life earn more money, save for retirement, win the football game, stay healthy, eat right. We hear a million messages. And it's good when we gather that we kind of re-story ourselves, that we speak, we pray, we remember the story of the gospel, and we need to revisit that over and over to remember the truth of the gospel and its relevance to our lives. So I'm excited about Nelson coming and sharing kind of on those themes, I think. There are four big questions in life that in some shape or form probably every person deals with. The first one is, who am I? Who am I? The world would speak lots of messages to that. Psalm 139 speaks to us about who am I. It tells us that we are an intended creation. God purposed to create you and me. He knows us. He knows when we sit and when we rise. So you are known. You're wanted. You're loved. And it's in love that you were fearfully and wonderfully created. When I read that verse about fearfully and wonderfully created, it reminded me of some times when I was at the potter's wheel and I'm trying to make a pot. And the closer it gets to being finished, the more scared I am that I'm going to screw something up. And that idea of those fearful, careful last touches, God carefully made you in love. That's who you are. You're known, you're wanted, you're loved. Question, where do I come from? Is a question people wrestle with. Where do I come from? Psalm 139 and Genesis 1 and 3 speak to this. Ultimately, we were created. He created our inmost being. He knit us together in our mother's womb. And Genesis tells us how God created man from the dust of the ground, and for each of us, from dust you are, and to dust you will return. He created us. That's where we come from. Why am I here? That's a big question. The world would have lots of answers to. Some would say there's no purpose. You're here by chance. It's random. God would tell us we are here to love Him and to love people. One church document says that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I was looking at verses about that idea of enjoying God, and I came across Psalm 63:3. Because your love, speaking of God's love, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Because your love for God is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Remember that, brothers and sisters. Restory that. Tell yourself that again. God's love is better than life. Jesus' love is better than a pay raise. It's better than a new cell phone. It's better than having your child obey you. It's better than getting your driver's license. Jesus' love is better than a big retirement account. It's better than winning the football game. It's better than getting married. It's better than being healthy, free of disease and sickness. Many of these are good things. And we receive many messages and stories about what makes a good life. We need to reclaim God's story for us and remember that His love is better than life. And because of that, my lips will glorify You. So who am I? Where do I come from? Why am I here? What happens when I die? What happens when I die? God's Word tells us heaven is what happens. If we repent, accept Christ as Savior and Lord, and if not, hell, if we reject Christ. So do I need a Savior? Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 3:20 says, therefore no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, the law... through the law, we become conscious of our sin. And our theme verse, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you, maybe many of you know that already by heart. If not, you can look in your bulletin, and I'd like us to say that verse together now. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you need a Savior? Exodus 20:17 is kind of the tip of the iceberg of the law for us. That's the Ten Commandments. Do you have gods in your life before the Lord? You have any idols? Have you ever misused the name of the Lord? Do you always remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? Have you always honored your father and mother? Jesus, of course, later on expands some of these additional commandments, condemning hate and lust. Have you hated? Have you committed adultery? Have you stolen? In your time, your employer, have you stolen from the government? You're not paying taxes on money given to you. Have you given false testimony? Have you coveted your neighbor's stuff? James tells us that if we've been guilty of one, we're guilty of all. And that we are sinful. And we are in need of a Savior. Yes, I need a Savior. Who is able to pay your sin debt? Who is able to fulfill the questions and needs of our lives? Only Jesus can. We're going to read our main scriptures for today. I've also included Revelation 4 and Revelation 5, and I'm going to have a couple readers come up here in a minute. Revelation 5 speaks about the scroll and how no one was there in heaven able to open the scroll until Jesus was there and was worthy. And I'm not exactly sure all of what that scroll represents in Scripture. In some of what I read, it said the scroll represents our judgment. And the person is, John is upset because he knows he's going to have to pay his own judgment and no one is there to pay that debt. And then he's rejoicing that Jesus has come. It also speaks of the inheritance of the kingdom as that scroll is revealed and opened. Things take place. It's the announcement and the consummation of all of history. Things happen as that scroll is opened through the rest of Revelation. I'd like to suggest also this morning to picture that scroll to represent Jesus being the answer in life. The answer for those big questions I mentioned, the who am I, where I come from, what is my purpose, why am I here, and what happens when I die, Jesus is the answer. For those big questions and for all the little questions and for everything in between, Jesus is the answer. There's a song that says, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. He's the answer for who will pay your sin debt. He's the answer to our questions and to our needs. If our readers could come forward, Autumn will be reading Revelation 4, and then Dakota will be reading Revelation 5.
After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice when I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in his appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, an appearance like an emerald. Around the throne was 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thundering voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which were the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like a crystal, and in the midst of the throne, around the throne, were four living creatures full of eyes in the front and back. The first living creature was like a lion, and second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man, and fourth living creature was the flying eagle. The fourth living creature had each having six wings were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give holy and give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worships him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created."
Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the seven living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which were the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, and which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God. From every tribe and language and people and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000s times 10,000s. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, under the earth and on the sea, and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped.
Holy, holy is he. Only Jesus can open the scroll in Revelation. Only Jesus can pay your sin debt. Only Jesus can fulfill the needs and questions of our lives. Please pray with me. Father, thank you for your love for us. Jesus, thank you for paying our sin debt. Thank you for instituting this practice that we are about to share together, the celebration of communion and foot washing, as a way to remind ourselves of what you've done for us. Please bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. So we prepare for communion and foot washing. We invite all followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to thoughtfully participate in this special remembrance of our Lord and how he gave himself for us. If parts are unfamiliar, feel free to ask questions or just observe. This is something we want to celebrate, while at the same time we approach communion with humble, repentant hearts. 1 Corinthians 11:26 to 29 says, "When you eat the bread and drink the cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So do not eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in a way that isn't worthy of him. If you do, you will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A person should take a careful look at himself before he eats the bread and drinks from the cup. Anyone who eats and drinks must recognize the body of the Lord. If he doesn't, the Lord will judge him." We're going to have a time of confession. Todd will be leading us in a reading in the back of the Mennonite hymnal, number 715. 715. Following that reading, we'll have a short time of silent prayer. Darlene will be playing instrumental on the piano, and invite you to be in prayer silently with that theme of confession, and then as that time finishes up, Travis will close that time in prayer. So I'll invite Todd.
Again, we're going to read from number 715 in the Mennonite hymnal. I'll read the regular type, and we'll all read together the bold. It was there from the beginning. We have heard it. We have seen it with our own eyes. We looked upon it and felt it with our own hands. And it is of this we tell. Our theme is the word of life. This life was made visible. We have seen it and bear our testimony. We declare to you the eternal life which dwelt with the Father and was made visible to us. What we have seen and heard, we declare to you, so that you and we together may share in common life. That life which we share with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this in order that the joy of us all may be complete. Here is the message we heard from Him and pass on to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. We claim to be sharing in His life while we walk in the dark. Our words and our lives are alive. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, then we share together a common life, and we are being cleansed from every sin by the blood of Jesus, His Son. If we claim to be sinless, we are self-deceived and strangers to the truth. If we confess our sins, He is just and may be trusted to forgive our sins and cleanse us from every kind of wrong. We say we have committed no sin. We make Him out to be a liar, and then His word has no place in us. My children, in writing thus to you, my purpose is that you should not commit sin. Should anyone commit a sin, we have one to plead our cause with the Father, Jesus Christ. He is just. He is Himself the remedy for the defilement of our sins, not our sins only, but the sins of the world.
O God, and know our hearts. Test us and know our anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. For we know that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen.
This time we'll share the elements of communion together. Steve, I'll invite you to join us up front. When the bread is distributed to all, we will receive it together. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The body of Christ broken for me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you, the blood of Christ shed for us." You can pass your cups towards the center aisle. Thank you. helping with preparations for foot washing may be excused. In John 13, 1-15 says this, "It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world. It was time for him to go to the Father. Jesus loved his disciples who were in the world, so he now showed them how much he really loved them. The evening meal was being served. The devil had already tempted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. He had told Judas to hand Jesus over to his enemies. Jesus knew that the Father had put everything under his power, and he also knew that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal and took off his outer clothes, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a large bowl, and he began to wash his disciples' feet. He dried them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter. 'Lord,' Peter said to him, 'are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus replied, 'You don't realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand.' 'No,' said Peter, 'you will never wash my feet.' Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash you, you can't share life with me.' 'Lord,' Simon Peter replied, 'not just my feet, wash my hands and my head too.' Jesus answered, 'A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. The rest of his body is clean, and you are clean, but not all of you.' And Jesus knew who was going to hand him over to his enemies. That was why he said not everyone was clean. When Jesus finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes, returned to his place, said, 'Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord. You are right. That is what I am. I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You also should wash one another's feet. I have given you an example. You should do as I have done for you.'" As usual, the areas for washing will be men upstairs, women downstairs, and hand washing in the church office. Following foot washing, we will return to the auditorium and conclude with our worship and song. And two things I'd like to share as we go. I recently spoke with a man who was raised in an African village who later spoke about his church in America. We were talking about communion and foot washing particularly. And he was talking about his church and their perceived yuckiness of foot washing. Ooh. And he said, "You have little to complain about. You have running water in your homes, beautiful shoes and clothes. You drove in a car to church. My experience was walking an hour or more to church on dirt paths, barefoot. You think your feet are dirty?" The other thought is just, and I've said some of these things before, but let's be welcoming to one another as we go to our areas to wash feet. If you see someone that doesn't have a partner, ask if they need a partner. If there's an odd number, someone can wash a second time. Be welcoming of one another. At this point, you are dismissed for foot washing. Thank you.
We began our service, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," and the experience of Isaiah. We've had a wonderful experience of worship together this morning and the communion service together. Somehow it seems to me that the response of Isaiah would be a fitting response for each of us. Isaiah encountered the Lord feeling unclean and unworthy, but the Lord touched his lips and cleansed his heart from guilt and sin. And don't we feel that way this morning too? But then Isaiah committed to becoming a voice for the Lord. And so I think the challenge for us is, are you willing to commit to leave here this morning being a voice? Turn with me to number 2. And for this song, I'd like if we'd sing it unaccompanied. I'd like if we'd sing it softly. I'd like if we'd sing it in a mood of meditation and reflection, and invite each of us in our hearts to commit to leaving here, being a voice for the Lord. Number 2, follow the English lines. Oh. Thank you.
holy, holy is He. Jesus, You alone are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals. Only You can pay our sin debt. Only You can fulfill the needs and questions of our lives, where Your love ran red and our sin washed white. We owe all to You. Amen. Go in peace.